Good morning. We are studying the topic of prayer throughout the month. One of the things that I hoped to accomplish in these lessons are to come at this a little bit differently from a standpoint of a more practical way of considering prayer, not just here's how you pray and things like that, but I want to talk about life in general and how prayer helps us certainly in our lives. Have we ever felt like this before? I talk to God, but nothing happens. Ever felt that way before? Certainly I have felt that way. I would guess that if you're a praying person, you have likely felt that way at some point in time. Spent time on your knees praying, feeling almost detached, almost isolated from God. And have you ever been asked or tempted to ask the question, well, God, are you really there? Are you really listening? I think that's what Job was certainly experiencing. That's why I had that as the scripture reading. He says, I go forward, he's not there. I go backward and cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I can't behold him. When I turn to the right, he says, I cannot see him. And yet, he knows, right? He knows. Have we ever asked, well, God, do you really care about me? About what's going on in my life? And the psalmist wrote, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Consider, hear me, O Lord, my God. Psalm 13. Maybe it's the case that we've asked the question, God, why don't you do something about this? Why don't you do something? In Habakkuk 1, verses 2 through 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you, violence, and you'll not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Certainly Habakkuk knew something of that. And so when we think about prayer, we studied last week Paul's prayer for us, the church, for the body of Christ, from the book of Ephesians. But as we consider some of these questions in particular and think about our own lives, and maybe the fact that we've thought these things, we've asked these questions, we've had these feelings before, we're not alone in that. Not only are we not alone in having those feelings and asking those questions, but we're not alone. He knows. That's what Job understood. As much as he understood, my Redeemer lives, Job 19. He understood that he knows. He knows what I'm going through. He knows the feelings that I have. The psalmist understood the idea of feeling isolated from him, as well as the prophet Habakkuk. And so sometimes I struggle with my prayer life. Sometimes I struggle in my prayers. And sometimes I struggle with the results of those prayers. So here's some things for us to think about. Knowing that certainly we believe in God's person, His presence, His power, His providence, and His precept, and His promises that He gives to His people. It is natural to still feel these things. I ask, God, is it me? Is it my prayer? Is it both? Is it me and my prayer? So let's consider to start with the person. The person who is praying might actually be the cause of my struggles in my prayer life. It might be me that's causing this struggle. James 5:16 tells us that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So according to James, the right kind of prayer, one that is fervent, from the right kind of person, one that is righteous, makes a powerful, powerful combination. It avails much. But that being true, our problems with prayer might be me. And so it might be me from this standpoint. Number one, it might be the case that I am expecting too much from prayer. With all respect, sometimes our prayers have been as if we are carrying around a rabbit's foot in our pocket. Anyone ever do that? As a young boy, I remember having one of those. And I remember it had a little clip on the end of it. You could hang it on some of your stuff, right? And sometimes we've treated God in our prayer life like we're carrying around a rabbit's foot. It's not a mantra that we chant and automatically get what we want. But that is the way that the heathen, the pagan mind worked in Jesus' day. And he used them, in fact, as an example how not to pray. Matthew chapter 6, real quick. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would explain that. Remember, he says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, and they think that they shall be heard because they're speaking a lot. And so just because they're saying a lot, or maybe because they're saying a lot over and over and over and over, they feel like they'll be heard. And our difficulties, though, with prayer might come from our possibly being even disappointed with previous efforts. Well, I prayed. I prayed for this one time before. I prayed in the past. I didn't get the results that I wanted. What we have to learn to do in prayer is to spend some time in the shadows of Gethsemane. And think about our Lord in His prayer. What the Hebrews writer says about that occasion is interesting. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. It says that He offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. That was more than one prayer, more than one type of prayer, accompanied by a strong emotional response in that prayer and a physical response of shedding tears. Sometimes for us to think about praying, we need to think about going to the shadows of Gethsemane and there learning from our Lord how to pray and thinking about His own response to the Father's prayer. Three times He would fall on His face. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Jesus' faith in his Father and in the ability to pray to his Father, to have that conversation and to know that his Father was listening, would help him respond right. Your will be done. And so our difficulties, the fact that maybe we're expecting too much from prayer, we're not thinking the right way about prayer. Remember that God only gives that which is good. And he does so according to his will. It might not even seem good to us, but it accomplishes his will and ultimately is the very best for us. Think about what Jesus said in this same sermon in chapter 7. In chapter 7 of verse 7, in fact, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we typically think about these three things being completely separated from one another. Ask, okay, seeking, and then knocking, right? But these things are all connected. The asking, the seeking, the knocking, they're all connected. Because when we ask for something from our Father, we need to be seeking certainly the answer, but we need to be knocking and looking for the opportunities for the answer to be right in front of us, right where it always has been, right where it's supposed to be, right where it needs to be. Ask, seek, knock. We can't separate them. Verse 11, and think about what Jesus says to those whom he's preaching, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. I mean, you know that, right? You know how to give good gifts to your children. You understand that? We've experienced that. He says, well, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Our Heavenly Father knows, the one who knows exactly what we need, right? What did he just got through? He just got through talking about seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness and all these things, the needful things in life that sometimes we certainly need to be praying for and being thankful for. Why? Because he supplies all of those needs. Ask, shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, door will be opened. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. So we might be therefore struggling simply because we are asking for something that is not the best for us. Sometimes we talk about God's answers might be, yes, I'll grant that. No, I won't grant that. But I have something better for you in mind. And so there's that third option. And it might be, wait. Endure just a little bit more. Patiently wait. Because the blessing that's going to come from that is going to be what you really need. Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Ours is not, but his is. If we're struggling in our prayer life, number two, we might not be expecting enough from our prayers. So, okay, you said we were expecting too much. I said, that could be. Or maybe it could be, though, that we are not expecting enough from our prayers. Someone has said, pray, believe, and receive. Pray, doubt, and do without. I like that. Our difficulty with prayer might come from our not believing enough in the God who answers our prayers. Again, the idea of faith, right? James 1, verse 5, The prayers that we ask should be a prayer of faith, in faith, not doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, it says. Let not that man suppose that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You can't doubt. You have to have faith. When we pray, there's a couple things that might help us when it comes to what to believe in exactly. Obviously, to believe in God Himself, the Creator, right? His existence, the fact that He is there. And as knowing that He is there, combining that with Job's idea that He knows. If He is there and He's the Creator of all things, then He certainly knows what I'm going through. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah says, "Has thou not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, nor is He weary?" The Creator of the ends of the earth, the Lord Almighty, God Himself, He does not faint. He does not grow tired. There is no searching of His understanding. In other words, we could search the ends of the earth and not fully comprehend all that He is and all that He does for us. But yet, we need to have faith in His existence. We need to have faith in His presence. That He is a very present God. Very present help in a time of trouble, right? But Isaiah 40, verse 29 goes on to say, "He giveth power to the faint." So the one who does not grow weary, does not grow faint, He gives power and strength to those who are faint-hearted. And to those who have no might, He increases our strength. He says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall." Even our young people. We expected the older we get, the more easily tired we become, right? It doesn't take as much to cause us to be tired. But even the young people, God says, grow weary. But God does not. And He's right there with us. And then verse 31, to add to that thought, we need to believe in a benevolent God. In His existence, His presence, and His benevolence. The God that we can entrust our future needs, our future benefits, all of His benefits. We thank Him. We sing praises unto Him. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. But in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, He says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint." And so while it may be the case that we might expect too much from prayer, it might also be the case, number two, that we don't expect enough from our prayers. Number three, could be the case that we're not living as we should. I think about the book of Proverbs, and we're going to study Proverbs chapter 10 in the evening's lesson. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 for just a moment. Proverbs 1. The wisdom of God warns us. This is the gist of it that I want us to get out of this. If you stop listening to me, I'll stop listening to you. This is what God essentially is saying. Proverbs 1, 24 through 28. "Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, no one regarded, because you disdained all of my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. And when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will turn and they will call upon me. But I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they will not find me. And God is saying, if you stop listening to me, if you stop listening to my counsel, if you stop listening to my word, my instructions that I give, then I'm not going to be listening to you. And so if we're struggling in prayer and the results of prayer and thinking God may not be listening, I need to start with the person that I can control, with the one that I can handle, that I can handle my thoughts. I can change my thoughts if I need to. I can change my way of living if I need to. I can do those things that are pleasing to God. I dig into His Word. I seek His counsel right here, an instruction from His Word. Those divine precepts are there to teach us, to guide us, to be a lamp unto our feet, a light that lights the way, that shows the way that I'm supposed to be going. The decisions that I need to be made, they're going to be made based on Scripture, based on God's Word. And so then he says, I'll answer. I'll be right there with you. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, is what we're reminded over and over through Scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 5, especially. Proverbs 28, verse 9 reminds us, one who turns away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayer becomes an abomination unto God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66, 18. And so, the ears of God are open to the righteous, to His children, to His people. And that's why the statement is made. The prayer of a righteous one avails much. 1 Peter 3:12, James 1:17. Our difficulties with prayer then might be also from our doubts. Again, this was something I tried to bring out at the beginning, the idea that sometimes we doubt that God's really listening. We doubt, maybe we're doubting ourselves even, that I'm not what I need to be, and there's just doubt all around. And so I don't trust myself. I don't know how to trust in God. And so there's just doubt in every direction. And so our difficulties with prayer might be because of some of those doubts. And so I need to think about being right with God, first of all. And then I can have full assurance and confidence in the blessings of God, and that He hears my prayers, my cry, my tears He knows are falling on my cheeks. The word right, think of it in these terms. The R standing for revelation. Am I right according to Scripture? 2 Timothy 3:16. The I, the influence. Am I helping others? Because I am an influence everywhere I go. You are an influence everywhere you go. There's someone that's always looking to you. Someone maybe older, someone maybe younger. Someone just alongside of you at the workplace, wherever you are, someone's watching you, seeing the way that you live your life. Am I the right kind of influence to others? I need to check myself in that way. And so I think about the I standing for influence. G standing for glory. Am I glorying in myself? Has it become all about me in this life, or am I glorifying God, as we studied last Sunday morning as well? H stands for heaven. Because heaven is the goal. Heaven is that prize, Philippians 3, verse 14. T stands for trust. Am I acting out an obedient faith? That's the idea of faithfulness, trustworthiness. So we think about trust. Number four, if I'm struggling in my prayer life, we might have gotten to a point where we're trying, this is going to sound weird, but bear with me, trying too hard to live right. What happens sometimes is we get to a point where we become self-righteous. trying so hard, it's all about me, and the focus has left God and come back to me. So I'm only focused on me. And this is what happens a lot of times in our, we focus inwardly on myself. Me, 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 and I, right? That's the way we live life a lot of times. But it might be the case that that's causing us to become self-righteous. Jesus talked about those who were self-righteous, and he talked about their prayer life and what it might look like. In Luke chapter 18, he gives examples of that, right? You have the tax collector and the sinner. The sinner wouldn't so much as look up to heaven. And the publican or the tax collector standing off to the side saying, God, I am not at all like that man. Doing pretty well, I think. I do this and I do that. So give me, do for me. Those who trust in themselves that they were righteous. That's what we read in that passage. Our difficulties with prayer might come from the fact that we are a little too proud of ourselves. An exaggerated concept of self that leads to self-righteousness. Number five, if I'm struggling with prayer, you know, it could be because we're at odds with another Christian. That could be the case. And what a struggle it becomes. Husbands and wives. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, you remember that Christian husbands were taught, treat their wives as they were heirs together of the grace of life, that their prayers might not be hindered. It could be the case between a husband and wife. The word translated hindered in that passage, literally, the word picture is given as, here's a road literally being cut away. It's impassable. You cannot go that way. You've seen pictures of flash floods and roads just being destroyed. I remember in Pensacola years ago, we had, I think it was 18 hours of rainfall that was just coming at such an enormous rate, and it flooded the area down there. But I remember that along the Pensacola Bay, there's a road that just travels right along the side of that, and that road completely just washed out. The underneath it just gave way. Just fell off into the bay. And that's literally the idea of being hindered. That's the word picture that is given in Scripture. And so if it's the idea then that either husbands or wife or Christian brothers and sisters are mistreating one another in some way, then the pathway in prayer unto God has been washed away. It's hindered. In Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spends a great deal of time talking about that. And so this morning when I think about my prayer life, if I'm struggling in some way, these are questions I need to answer. These are things I need to work through. And it's going to help us ultimately. The second part of this we'll do, Lord willing, not next Sunday, I've got a gospel meeting, but the next. The next part of this we're going to answer, we're going to talk about the question about specifically prayer and more about the form of prayer and what that looks like. Am I doing that right? And so if I'm struggling in prayer, it might be that I'm just not praying the right way. And so, but what I wanted to do was present a practical approach, thinking about our prayers to begin with. This conversation that we are privileged to have with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, and even when we have no words, the Spirit helps us to express our thoughts that we can't put into words sometimes unto the Father. Every part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in our prayers in that way. But if there's a struggle, then I need to look within first. And I need to think about my life, how I'm living, how I'm praying. Do I have the type of life that allows me access? One of our instructors years ago used to ask us whenever he wanted someone to pray, he said, "Are you on praying terms with God?" And then he would ask us to lead the prayer. That's really the question then, isn't it? Are we on praying terms with God? We need to look within. We need to see our life. We need to see how we're living our life. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:17. So if there's a way that we might help this morning to be back on praying terms, if you will, with God. As a child of God, you simply need to repent, ask God to forgive you. If it's of a public nature, then you can make those things public. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you every way that we know how. And we'll help you in this walk, in this life, because we need one another. And maybe it's the case that you've never named the name of Christ as your Lord and Savior and put Him on in baptism. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you are not a Christian. Acts 2:38 says that we're to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's how we get into Christ. Galatians 3:27 is baptism. So that we put on Christ. So that we have access to the very throne room of God and we can pray. We can be on praying terms with God. And so this morning, if you have a need, please come forward while we stand, while we sing.